and welcome to Dune Reads Goosebumps. I am Dune, and this is part two of How to Kill a Monster by R.L. Stein on Dune Reads Goosebumps. I actually have to give a couple shout-outs on this one, but I'll space it out a little bit. So the first one goes out to Ryan, who's, I guess, flying into L.A. to run the L.A. Marathon and plans on running said marathon while listening to me being an asshole and reading Goosebumps. So, unless he's listening to this beforehand and not actually while he's running, then if that's the case, fuck you, Ryan. But if you're actually running the marathon right now, I'll give you, like, little advice throughout, like, keep going, don't forget to breathe, idiot. I don't know, I don't run, fuck that. And, yeah, right now I'm drinking water because I went out for my buddy Chris's birthday to go golfing this morning and started golfing at like 9, a little after, and had like a dozen beers, and now it's 4:20 and I played 18 holes of golf and probably need some water at this point, you know, because I had, you know, like I said, like a dozen beers and I am pretty intoxicated. That being said, chapter number 15, which I kind of started in the last episode, but doesn't worry, or you don't worry, or oh god, this is not gonna go well. No! I pulled my hand away from the doorknob. I have to find Clark, I decided. I'm tired of playing this stupid game. I'm tired of being it. It is capitalized, which makes me... Are they trans? Is that what that means? Then, I had a great idea. I'll hide. I'll trick Clark into being it. I'll hide, and Clark will get bored waiting for me to find him. He'll have to look for me. Perfect, I thought. Now, where shall I hide? I searched the rest of the rooms on the third floor, scouting out a good hiding place, but the rooms up here were all empty. Nothing to slip behind. You know what I'm saying? When I use the sexual tone when I say that? Or, no? Nothing? Alright. Nothing to crawl under. I returned to the little room with the player piano. Maybe I can figure out a way to hide behind that, I thought. I tried to push the piano away from the wall, just enough so that I could squeeze behind it, but it was too heavy. I couldn't budge it. I made my way back to the door with the silver key. The locked room. I peered up and down the dim hall. Had I searched everywhere? Did I miss a room? Do I have to go in this super spooky room where there's presumably a monster and I have a special hidden key? Maybe. That's when I spotted it. A small door. A door in the wall. A door I hadn't noticed before. The door before not noticed no more. A door to a dumb waiter. It's not a waiter that has a learning disability. A dumb waiter is like a tiny elevator you can use to pull items up and down from one story to the next, and I wish I had one, but instead I just have to pee in the kitchen sink. I'd seen dumb waiters in movies, in big old houses like this one. They were little elevators that... I already explained this, asshole. I'm gonna skip past that, because I covered it. A dumb waiter, I thought. A perfect place to hide. I turned and started toward it. When I heard a crash. A crash like the sound of a plate dropping. A crash coming from the other side of the door with the silver key. I pressed my ear against the door. I heard footsteps. So that's where Clark is hiding, I realized. He is such a goddamn cheater. He hid in the one place he knew I wouldn't look. He hid in the room Grandma and Grandpa told us to stay the fuck out of. Well, Clark, I thought, too bad for you. I found you. I slipped my fingers around the key and turned it. The lock sprang open with a sharp click. I yanked open the door and stared at a hideous monster. Chapter number 16. I nearly fell into the room. I couldn't move, couldn't back away, couldn't take my eyes off him. A living, breathing monster, at least 10 feet tall, standing inside the locked room. I gaped at his big, furry body, looking like motherfucking Grimace. A body like a gorilla, with leaves and tree roots and sand tangled in his fur. Ah, great. Guardians of the Galaxy obviously stole Groot from this. His head was scaly with snapping rows of jagged alligator teeth. A foul stench filled the room. The putrid smell of decay. The smell of the swamp. My stomach heaved. The creature raised his eyes to me, bulging eyes set into the sides of his enormous head. He held me in his stare for a moment. Then he glanced down at his hairy paws, where he balanced a tall stack of pancakes! Because remember before, in part one, there's pancakes brought up to said monster, but this time he already has them. It's cool, it's a throwback. It's just some Dune Raised Goosebumps stuff. Just for people that listen, you know, that's all. He began stuffing the pancakes into his mouth, devouring them, gnashing them with his jagged teeth, still gripping the door handle. I stared at the monster as he ate. He jammed another stack of pancakes down his throat. He swallowed them whole and grunted with pleasure. His horrible alligator eyes went wide. The thick veins in his neck throbbed as he ate. I tried to call for help, to scream, but when I opened my mouth, no sound came out. Here's my impression of it. That's what it sounds like when no sound comes out. With one hand, the monster shoved pancakes into his mouth, stacks at a time. With the other, he scratched at one of his furry legs, scratched and scratched until he found a big black beetle nesting in his fur. Gross. He held the beetle up to the side of his head, to one of his bulging eyes. The beetle's legs waved in the air. He glared at the beetle, at the waving legs. Then he popped the bug into his mouth and chomped down on its shiny black shell with a sickening crunch. Wait, this is just like the terror in the library? Don't go in the library? Something library? This is the same stuff. It's already been done in Goosebumps. When I was a kid, I remember putting either an ant or a flea in my mouth and eating it, and it the whole thing tasting spicy. This is when I was like 4 or something like that. But I still remember the total like peppery spiciness of it. That's gross. Blueberries and beetle juice oozed from his mouth. Run, I told myself, run! But I was too terrified to move. The creature reached down for another stack of pancakes. I forced myself to take a small step back into the hall. The monster jerked his head up. He glared at me, then he let out a deep growl. I'm gonna drink some water, then try to growl. I've been out in the sun golfing all day. Leave me alone. He let the pancakes slide to the floor and lumbered toward me. I hope it wasn't a lumberjack stack of pancakes like they have at Denny's. I ran, screaming for help as I charged into the hall. Gretchen, Gretchen, what's wrong? Clark turned the corner at the end of the corridor. A monster in the locked room, Harry, I shrieked. Hurry, get up. I leaped down the stairs. Grandma, Grandma, I cried out. A monster. I turned to see if the beast was following me and realized that Clark hadn't moved. There's a monster in here, I wailed. Get away, Clark, get away! He snickered. You must think I'm pretty stupid to fall for that one. Clark headed toward the door of the monster's room, grinning. No, please, I pleaded. I feel like you don't have to say pleaded when you say please. That being said, I'm telling the truth. You just want to scare me, to get even. I'm not kidding, Clark. Don't go in there. I shriek, don't. Clark reached the door. Here I am, swamp monster, he called out as he stepped into the room. Come and get me. Oh my goodness. The second person I want to give a shout out to is Nina, who lives in the UK, presumably at least somewhere near. Do you live in London? Anyway, after reading about it on Vice, my buddy and I were like, we need to get some of that Buckfast tonic wine, which I think is an older version, but it's essentially a much stronger version of Four Loko with caffeine still, right? It's what poor people drink there. When I was in England, I was very into the Tennent Super because it tastes like Steel Reserve, kind of. It's your version of it, but but she's mailing me a package with some Buckfast tonic wine and some other English goodies, so I appreciate that thoroughly. I would try to do an accent, but it's not fun. My accent of saying, oh, rad, being from Southern California, I feel like it's more fun than me trying to do their accent, right? Just like when I was over in England and my buddy was like trying to use the proper terminology, and I'm like, just say it how you'd normally say it. It's funny for them to make fun of us, you know? It's not a lift, it's a fucking elevator. It's not aluminium, it's aluminum. You know? I don't know. Whatever. Anyway, I'm about to read the next chapter in a second. Alright, I might have to drink more because this water does not just feel goosebumpy. It's very uncomfortable. Chapter number 17. A second later, Clark's terrified screams echoed from the room. The creature roared over Clark's cries. Charlie bounded up the stairs, barking wildly, "Run! Run!" Clark came bursting from the room, waving his arms. A monster! A swamp monster! We tore down the stairs, dragging Charlie with us. Charlie fought hard. Just like in Vietnam, but not hard enough, even though they won that war, I guess. I don't know how it worked. The point is, war's pretty gay to begin with. He wanted to turn around and charge back up the steps. Charlie, come, I pleaded, come. But Charlie sat down on a step and howled. He wouldn't budge. A bellow thundered through the hall. Oh no, he's coming. He's coming after us. Says in italics. That's pretty tough. Please, Charlie, I begged, yanking on his collar. Please. Clark stood on the steps, frozen in fear. Help me, Clark, I pleaded. Don't just stand there. Help me. The swamp monster pounded down the hall. The old stairway quaked under his feet. He's coming to get us, Clark whispered and didn't cry like Dune made him sound, even though it would have sounded better if he cried. He still hadn't moved. I grabbed my stepbrother's t-shirt and yanked him hard. Help me, Clark, I screamed. Push Charlie. We struggled down the stairs. I tugged Charlie and Clark shoved him from behind. Grandpa, Grandpa, I cried out. No answer. The monster's roar grew louder, closer. Lock Charlie in the bathroom, I ordered. Clark. There was no comma there. It was just I ordered Clark, but I put one there, now I have to explain it, because I'm a fuck-up at reading Goosebumps, because I drank too much, but I'm going to drink more, because it's awkward to read Goosebumps without drinking, and whatever. I ordered Clark. When we reached the second floor, he'll be safe there. I'll find Grandma and Grandpa. I charged down to the kitchen. Grandma! Grandpa! I yelled, a monster! No one in the kitchen. I flew into the living room. Probably flew just means that she ran fast. She probably didn't actually fly. Where are you? Help! Not in the living room. I searched the library. Empty. I ran back up the stairs. I checked the bedroom and all the other rooms in the second floor. I couldn't find them anywhere. Where are they? Where could they be? I asked myself. Clark stepped out of the bathroom, just in time to hear the monster's footsteps rumbling above us. Where's Grandma and Grandpa? He stammered, as if assuming that old people just stop having sex at a certain point. By the way, that's a quote from my mother. She didn't say old people. She's like, do you think people just reach a certain age and stop having sex? And then I vomited out of my tear ducts. Out of my tear ducts. He stammered. I don't know. I can't find them. Did you check outside? His voice came out in a squeak. That's it, I thought. Don't panic, Gretchen. They must be outside. Probably in the back. Grandpa's probably working on the shed. We bolted down the stairs and into the kitchen. We stopped at the back door, stared out across the swamp to the shed. No one back there. Where are... Clark began. Listen, I cut Clark off, totally rude. Do you hear that? The sound of a car starting up. Grandpa and Grandma's car! It's back and it's fixed! I shouted. We followed the sound of the engine. It was coming from the front of the house. We ran to the front door and peered out the window. There they were. Huh? I cried out in shock. My grandparents weren't backing down the driveway. They were driving away! No! Wait! Wait! I screamed, turning the lock. They can't hear you, Clark shouted. Open the door! Open it! I yanked on the door. I pulled as hard as I could. I turned the lock again. Hurry, Clark shrieked. They're leaving us here. I tugged and tugged and turned the knob frantically. Then I realized the horrible truth. It's bolted from the outside, I told Clark. They've locked us in. Damn, what irresponsible grandparents. All right, I took a little break to try to get my head back into this, and I think it worked. I am now drinking not just water, but also a vodka pineapple, and I'm ready to go. Chapter 18. How could they do this to us? I wailed. How could they leave us here? Why did they lock us in? The ceiling shook above our heads. Shook. Hard. Hard enough to send the pictures on the living room wall crashing to the floor. That's pretty hard. Like, if I stomped right now, no pictures would fall down. What pictures do I have down there? We have the, my girlfriend got me a, I know I've mentioned this when it happened on the podcast, but the one comic book I've ever wanted to collect, which is why I don't collect comics anymore, which is Avengers issue 4, the, comeback of Captain America in the Silver Age of Comics. She got me an original one of those, and then she has a, what's that guy's name? Boris Karloff, that's whatever, that played Frankenstein? Whatever? Anyway, there's like a signed letter that he actually wrote to someone back in the day that her aunt got for her. Yeah, classy shit on the walls. Anyway, what was that? Clark's eyebrows shot up. The monster. He's coming after us, I croaked. We have to get out of here. We have to find help. Clark and I ran back to the kitchen door. I twisted the doorknob, pulled as hard as I could, but the door was also jammed shut, barred from the outside. Damn, her grandparents are bitches. We ran through the house. We checked all the side doors, all stuck, all of them bolted, shut off from the other side. The monster's footsteps rumbled above us. How could Grandma and Grandpa do this to us? How could they? How could they? The question screamed in my head as I charged into the library to the window, the only window on the entire first floor. Alright, so the house is built around monster keeping, right? Because windows are lovely. You get to look outside and see the swamp. I'm going on a swamp tour in like 3 weeks. I'm going to use one of those big fan boats. I'm going to go with my brother and his wife and my parents and my girlfriend, hopefully. We'll see how it goes. It'll be lovely. There will be alligators and the swamp plants will be in bloom. Let me check this recording because that's one of the sentences that's insane if I'm just saying it to myself on a Saturday evening. Our only escape now. I struggled to shove the window up. It wouldn't budge. I pounded on the window wooden sash with my fists. Look, Clark choked. He pointed to the grimy pane. Look, two rusted nails driven into the wooden sash, nailing the window shut from the outside, nailing us in. How could they do this to us? How could they? I chanted silently. How could they? We have to break the glass. I turned to Clark. It's the only way out. Okay, Clark cried. He leaned forward and began beating his fists against the pane. Wouldn't you grab something like one of the thousands of books in the library? My fists are delicate, but my books are not, except for my Goosebumps books. Which brings me to the last shout-out. Ooh, a nice transition. Wait, it's not a nice transition. I'm not being clever by mentioning Goosebumps on Dune fucking Reads Goosebumps. Anyway, Megan in Texas has a bunch of Goosebumps she's collected and seems to not want them anymore, so she's mailing them out to me. So I gotta send her money for shipping when she does, though. But anyway, the most important part of that is in that is quite a few give yourself Goosebumps, the choose your own adventures, right? That's important because those are fun to read. Anyway, I gotta get all of these done. Are you nuts? I screamed at him. Find something stronger to. God damn it, I went on a whole rant and they were on the same page as me again. But the rest of my sentence was lost. Lost in a deafening crash from above, followed by the thundering clatter of piano keys. What is he doing? Clark stammered. There's an old piano up there. It sounds as if he's throwing it across the room. Remember, that was the piano that she couldn't even move by pushing it, and this motherfucker's throwing it. So, I'm just saying, when he pulls out his girthy cock, it's over. The floors, the walls, the sweat drips down my balls. Ow, skeet, 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 the library ceiling, everything quaked as the monster hurled the piano across the third floor room, over and over again. A porcelain vase, a crystal dish, little glass animals flew from a nearby table and shattered at our feet. I threw my hands over my head as the library books spilled from their shelves. Clark and I huddled together on the floor, waiting for the avalanche of books to end, waiting for the monster to stop. Monsters don't stop. Even assholes that are really into monster energy drinks don't stop. Putting stickers on things. What is up with that? What is up with that fucking white trash stupid motherfucker thing of decorating all your shit in your favorite energy drink? Is that people that are sober? Is that like people in the program? Because I have two tattoos of Steel Reserve, and I had Steel Reserve this morning. Is that what's going on? Like, that's their thing, and I claim my one booze, even though I'm drinking vodka right now? Anyway, we waited for the monster, waiting for the monster to stop. We huddled there until the house grew silent. A final book tumbled from a shelf. It landed on a small table next to me. Hand me that, I ordered Clark. What a jerk. Pointing to a heavy brass candlestick next to the book. Stand back, I turned to the window. I pulled back my arm to swing the heavy candlestick when I heard the whimpering. Charlie's whimpering from upstairs. Oh, shit. I gasped. The monster. He's got Charlie. Franklin! Come here. I'm worried about your safety because of monsters, even though I'm upstairs and you're downstairs. Come see me. He's not going to come see me. I have his heater blanket on. He's next to his food.
Chapter number 19. Let me tell you, R.L. Stein, I appreciate the consistency in the chapter links. Yeah.
I ran for the stairway, clutching the candlestick in one hand, dragging Clark with the other. I had to save Charlie. I had to. By the way, Franklin made no effort to come up and see me, even though I called to him. I raced up the stairs. I stopped when I reached the top. My heart pounded in my chest as I peered down the hall. The corridor was empty. I crept toward the bathroom, except for Clark's raspy breathing and the thudding of my heart. The house was still. As I neared the bathroom door came into view. Shut.
That means someone's doing a poo-poo.
Did I already talk in here about how I think that kids from now on, instead of doing one or two, should do, are you bringing your phone or not? Which means, do you have to go poo-poo? I gripped the doorknob. It slipped in my sweat-drenched hand. I opened the door a crack and peeked inside, but I couldn't see shit. I could feel Clark breathing down my neck as I pushed the door open a bit more. A bit more. Charlie, I cried out with relief. Charlie sat in the bathtub, curled up in a corner, scared but safe. He gazed up at us with his big brown eyes. He wagged his tail weakly, then he began to bark. I really wish my dog would come here. Let me see if I call any pets if they'll come. Each one has a specific call. I've already explained this, but here we go.
Franklin! Franklin, come see me.
Now here's Yoda's.
Yodi! Dodi!
And Scarlet's.
Mimi! Come here, Mimi cat. You want to come see me?
Now we'll see if any of them come. Shh, I whispered, petting him.
Please, Charlie, don't let the monster hear you. Quiet, boy.
Charlie barked even louder, so loud that we almost didn't hear the car pull up outside.
Shh, I urged Charlie.
I turned to Clark.
Did you hear that shit?
His mouth dropped open. A car door.
Yes, I cried. Grandma and Grandpa are back, Clark shouted. I'll bet they brought help.
Stay, I commanded Charlie as we eased out of the bathroom.
Good boy, stay.
Look at that. None of the pets came to see me. I spend so much money trying to keep them alive. Giving them food, going to Trader Joe's for classy-ass food. If you follow me on Twitter, you know I donated to the San Diego Humane Society this week just so I can feel good about myself, and it worked because I'm a master of lying at myself. Lying to myself,
Either way, Clark slammed the door behind us and we bolted down the stairs. I knew they'd be back. I knew they wouldn't just leave us. I flew down the steps, two at a time, and heard the engine start and the car rumble away. I heard the tires crunch down the driveway. No, I shouted, and reached the front door. Don't go, don't go. I pounded the door with my fists. I kicked it hard, and then I saw the pink slip of paper on the floor slipped under the door. A message. I picked it up with a trembling hand and started to read. We're not coming back.
Let me do this again.
We're not coming back. Until next week. Sorry, kids, but work is taking much longer than we thought. A phone message from Mom and Dad. Grandma and Grandpa didn't come back, I realized. Mr. Donner from the general store had driven over to deliver this phone message. The roar of the monster tore through my thoughts. I spun around. Clark was gone. Clark! I shouted, where are you? The monster's growls grew louder. Meaner.
How do you know monsters sound? You know, they could grow louder and more jovial. That's why they're louder.
Clark! I called out again. Clark! Gretchen, come quick! I heard his desperate cry from the kitchen.
My girlfriend's working right now, and I'm supposed to go out with her and her co-workers tonight. However, I was drinking and golfing, and it's over 85 in San Diego, despite it being goddamn March 7th right now. And I was sweating a lot, and I'm sure that I just fucking stink. I was just drinking and fucking moving in heat. So I need to definitely bathe before I go out, but she hasn't got back to me because she's working, so I'm going to assume it's not going to happen and just keep chugging along reading to you people. God bless. I'm going to drink more of this pineapple vodka.
Chapter 20. Gretchen! Gretchen! As I charged through the living room, he shouted my name over and over again. Each time, his voice grew higher, more excited.
Gretchen. Gretchen? Gretchen? Gretchen!
That's what it must have sounded like. I'm coming! I yelled. Hold on, Clark, I'm coming! I rounded the couch and tripped over a footstool. My head hit the floor hard. Clark continued to cry out my name, but his voice seemed distant now. So far away. My head throbbed with pain. I struggled to stand and the room spun around me as if I was the Pixies describing doing meth. Gretchen! Gretchen! He sounded more frantic than ever. And for the first time, listeners, there is a hyphen between Gre and Chin in the book, which means he's getting desperate. I'm coming, I said through a dizzy haze, and then I heard the monster's bellow. It thundered through the house. I have to get to Clark. He's in trouble. The monster has him, I realized. I stumbled through the living room toward the kitchen. The creature's roar shook the walls. Hold on, Clark, I tried to shout, but my voice came out in a moan. I'm coming.
Is that what moaning sounds like? I don't think so.
I stumbled into the kitchen like Dune does every time he Ubers.
Jesus, couldn't even talk. I Ubered, by the way, to golf at 9 in the morning. That's how much I was drinking. And still reserve prior.
Gretchen! Clark stood next to the refrigerator, alone. Where is he? I cried. My eyes darted around the room, searching for the monster. Where's... who? Clark stammered. The monster, I yelled.
Upstairs, Clark replied, puzzled.
What took you so long to get here? Clark didn't wait for an answer. Look at this. He pointed to the refrigerator. I turned and saw two letters stuck there with magnets. You were screaming like a maniac to show me that? I shrieked. I nearly killed myself. I thought the monster had grabbed you.
Much like Clark and the Insane Clown Posse, I am very interested in magnets and how the fuck they work.
Clark's hand trembled as he lifted the envelopes from the refrigerator. It's two letters addressed to us from Grandma and Grandpa. I stared at the envelopes in Clark's hand. They were addressed to us, just as he said, and they were numbered 1 and 2. They left us letters.
By the way, we're all super interested in what the letters say, and that's what you say? They left us letters?
Obviously there's letters. They're labeled 1 and 2. I couldn't believe it. Clark ripped open the first letter. The paper shook in his hand as he began to read it to himself.
how frustrating is it when people read things out loud that aren't me? You know what I'm saying? Like, I kill this shit, but, like, other people are like, Clark ripped open the first envelope. Their paper done did shaken hands. I'm so good at this, guys. I'm so good at this. You guys should give me all your money. He mumbled as he read. I couldn't understand what he was saying. Let me have that. I reached out for the letter, but Clark jerked back. He held the paper tightly and continued to read. Clark, what does it say? I demanded. He ignored me. He pushed his glasses up on his nose and kept on reading, mumbling. I watched Clark as he read. I watched his eyes move down the page. I watched his eyes grow wide with horror. This is gonna be spooky. Hey, you know how I was like, hey, listeners, goddammit, send me tweets and emails and fucking Facebook messages and shit. And follow me on Instagram and everything else, which I, you know, gave all that information previously. And then you guys actually did. And remember, I was like, man, it really encourages me to record. It genuinely does. So thank you to the people who have been doing that. I've responded to everything, right? If I haven't, try again. But I'm fairly confident I've responded to everyone, and I'm open to shoot the shit with everyone. It's just nice that when I put the goddamn effort into reading this, that at least I know you're fucking listening, you know? Chapter 21. Clark! I shouted impatiently. What does it say? Clark began to read the letter out loud. Dear Gretchen and Clark, he started. The paper fluttered between his trembling fingers. We're sorry to do this to you, but we had to leave. A few weeks ago, a swamp monster invaded our house. We captured it in the room upstairs. Then we didn't know what to do with it. We didn't have a car, so we couldn't get to a phone to call for help. Wait. This has to be a giant prank on the kids, right? Because no fucking grandparent would be like, oh, just really quick, BRB, but, you know, there's a monster in the house. Good luck, idiots. Anyway, we lived in terror for the past few weeks. We are afraid to let the monster out. It's so loud and angry all the time. We know it would have killed us. My knees started to wobble as Clark continued. We didn't want to tell your parents about the creature. If we did, they wouldn't have let you come. We don't get many visitors here. We wanted so much to see you, but I guess we were wrong. You should have gone to Atlanta with your mother and father. I guess we are wrong to let you stay. Who the fuck wrote this letter? This is appalling. They guess they were wrong? They guess? I shrieked. Can you believe them? Clark peered up from the letter. His face was white. Wasn't he white to begin with? I'm white. Kind of Italian. Does that make me not white? I think in prison that makes me not white. Like, I can't be Aryan, right? Because I'm a wop? I'm pretty swarthy looking. Even his freckles seemed to disappear. He shook his head, stunned. Then he continued to read our grandparents' letter. We've been feeding the creature, slipping food through an opening Grandpa sawed in the bottom of the door. The monster eats a lot. But we had to feed him. We were afraid not to. We know it's unfair to run off now, but we're just going for help. We'll be back as soon as we can find someone. Someone who knows what to do with this horrible beast. Sorry, kids, we really are, but we had to bolt you inside the house to make sure you don't wander into the swamp by yourselves. It's not safe out there. Were they for real? Not safe out there? I cried. They left us in this house with a killer monster and they say it's not safe out there? Them bitches cray, Clark. Totally cray. Clark nodded and continued reading. Sorry, kids. We really, really are sorry. But just remember one thing. You are perfectly safe as long as... The monster upstairs let out a loud bellow, and Clark dropped the letter. I watched in horror as it sailed through the air, floated down to the floor, and slid under the refrigerator. Like, shit never happens like that ever. Come on, R.L. Stein. Here, let me drop this one important thing. Oh, no, it's under the refrigerator. You guys are all going to get raped and killed by a monster because, goddamn, that's how air works. Come on. Get it, Clark! I yelled, quick! Clark stretched out on the floor and shoved his fingers under the refrigerator, but
His fingers only managed to brush the tip of the paper, shoving it back. "Stop!" I yelled. "You're pushing it away! Just like you pushed Mom and Dad away! Goddamn, you're so terrible!" But Clark didn't listen. He shoved his hand in deeper, groping for the paper, as if he was trying to get an anus to prolapse, pushing it back, farther and farther, possibly further and further, as Dune does not understand the difference between farther and further, and he also does not understand the difference between who's that and whom. Who and whom? Very confusing to Dune. Until we couldn't see it anymore. "What did it say?" I hollered. "You read the letter. We're perfectly safe as long as what?" I didn't get to that part. Clark stammered. I wanted to strangle him. I spun around and frantically searched for something to slip under the refrigerator to ease out the letter, but I couldn't find shit long enough or slim enough. Everything was way too big to fit underneath. Clark tore open the kitchen cabinets and drawers and looked for something we could use. The monster stomped on the floor above us. He was probably playing Dance Dance Revolution. The ceiling quaked. A dish fell off the counter and shattered.
I'm gonna have a drink of alcohol.
Shattered? I just said shattered? A dish fell off the counter and shattered on the cold gray tiles. Shattered into a thousand tiny pieces. Ooh, I got that word twice now. "Oh no," I moaned, staring up at the ceiling, watching the paint crack and crumble. "He's down to the second floor. He's coming closer. We're doomed," Clark groaned. "He's going to catch us and..." "Clark, we have to move the refrigerator. We have to find out what it says in the rest of the letter." I swear to God, R.L. Stine, if the big turn of events in this is someone going, "Is the refrigerator running?" and then it runs away and the note's there and it turns out the monster's a refrigerator repairman, I'm going to be so angry and kind of surprised because that's oddly specific. Clark and I tugged on the refrigerator. We pushed and tugged with all our strength. Upstairs, the monster roared with anger. We tugged harder. The refrigerator began to move. Clark knelt down and peered underneath it. "Push," he told me. "Push, I can see a corner of the letter. Push a little more." I gave the refrigerator one more hard shove and Clark had it. He grasped the corner of the letter between his thumb and index finger and pulled it out. He shook the paper to free a clump of dust that clung to it. "Just read it," I shouted at him. "Read it." Clark started to read again. "You are perfectly safe as long as... as per usual, shout out to Giovanni of Dune and Geo Watch Stuff fame." That's a podcast me and Geo do, but he's more famous for other stuff, but it doesn't matter. Fame's stupid. I'd rather be rich than famous, like Migos. That's a song. Chapter number 22. Ah! I held my breath, waiting for Clark to finish the sentence, waiting to find out how we could keep ourselves safe. "You are perfectly safe." God damn it. Clark read for the third fucking time. "As long as you do not open the door and let the monster out." Too late, bitches. That's it. My jaw dropped. It's too late for that. It's too late. Did they say anything else? They must have said something else. "There's a little more," Clark read on. "Please, please stay away from that room. Do not open that door." "Too late," I wailed. "It's too late. If the monster escapes, you have no choice. You will have to find a way to kill it." Uh-oh. Just like Jihadi John did to us terrible Westerners. Clark looked up from the letter. "That's it, Gretchen. That's all it says. You will have to find a way to kill it." "Quick," I ordered Clark. "Open the other letter. It probably will tell us more. It has to." Clark started to tear open the second envelope when we heard the heavy footsteps. Footsteps downstairs. In the next room, the fucking living room. "Hurry, Clark, open it!" Clark's fingers fumbled as he tried to rip through the sealed envelope, but he stopped when we heard the creature's breathing. Deep, wheezing breaths, as if he was a Dungeons & Dragons fan. Coming nearer, my heart thumped wildly as the monster's wheezing grew louder. Oh my god. Wheezy F, baby, the F is for fear. He's coming for us, Clark cried, stuffing the unopened envelope into his pocket. The dining room, I shouted. Head for the dining room. What are we going to do? How can we kill it? Clark cried as we bolted from the kitchen. Ow! A sharp pain shot up my leg as I ran smack into the dining room table.
What an idiot.
I clutched my knee. I tried to bend it, but the pain tore through it. I spun around, and there he stood, the Swamp Monster, in the kitchen, lumbering toward us hungrily. Chapter number 23. The monster glared at me with his horrible, bulging eyes. I watched the veins in his head throb as he let out a long, low growl. I stared at those huge, pulsing veins, stared as they beat against his coarse alligator skin, as if he was shooting up Hecka Crocodile.
Run, Gretchen!
Clark pulled me from behind. He yanked me out of the dining room. We dove toward the stairs. We need a place to hide. Clark panted as we fled to the second floor. We have to hide until Grandma and Grandpa come back with help.
They're not coming back, I screamed at him. They're not coming back with help. They're old people, and old people are useless. All they do is vote, and voting is gay.
They said they would, Clark insisted. They said so in that letter, and I don't think voting's gay. Ashton Kutcher said that it's the coolest thing to do, and it rocks.
Clark, you are such a jerk. No one cares about Ashton Kutcher.
We reached the top of the stairs. I stopped to catch my breath. Who is going to believe them? I said, gulping air. Who is going to believe they have a swamp monster trapped in their house? Clark didn't reply. I answered for him.
Fucking no one. That's who.
Everyone they tell the story to will think they're nuts.
Someone might believe them.
Clark's voice cracked.
Someone might want to help.
Yeah, right.
Will you help us kill a swamp monster?
They'll ask. I bet they'll get loads of volunteers. I rolled my eyes.
Oh, shut up, bitch. You're trying to save your life. Don't be all pessimistic. Sometimes all you need is hope. You know? Damn, I got sentimental pretty quick.
I stopped yelling at Clark when I heard the monster's heavy breathing. I spun around and saw that motherfucker again. He stood at the bottom of the stairs, eyeing us, drooling hungrily. Clark and I backed slowly away from the top of the stairs.
Why don't they make more pancakes? With fucking rat poisoning. Let me get some cocktail going on.
The monster followed us with his eyes.
We have to kill it.
Clark whispered.
That's what the letter said. We have to kill it, but how?
I have no idea, I told Clark.
Follow me.
And you can follow me on Twitter at Dune. That was so rad. We turned and ran.
And ran? We ran. We ran so far away, we done did. God damn, I'm fucking white trash.
As we charged past the bathroom, we heard Charlie whimpering.
Let's get Charlie.
Clark stopped running.
And Nina, by the way, white trash, that means chav for you people, you know.
It's too dangerous to leave him closed up there. We have to take him with us.
We can't, Clark, I replied. He'll be okay. Don't worry.
I wasn't as sure about that as I sounded, but there was no time to stop for Charlie now because the monster had reached the second floor. There he stood, looming at the end of the hall. He raised his hands up over his head, all fucking monstery and shit. I saw that he held the wooden footstool I had tripped over in the living room. His eyes burned with anger. You don't know how to read monster emotions. He glared at me. Then he growled, a loud, savage growl.
Growl.
A stream of thick white drool dribbled down his chin.
Yeah, someone else probably put that thick white stuff dribbling down his chin. It's like oral sex, that's my joke.
He licked the drool away with a reptile tongue and smashed the stool down across his leg. It splintered into two jagged pieces. He raised the pieces and hurled them at us.
Let's go!
Clark shrieked as the footstool bounced off the wall. We ran up the stairs, up to the third floor. The monster lumbered after us. The whole house shook with each heavy step he took.
He's coming! Clark cried. What are we going to do? You said you had an idea. What? There's a collapsed stairway up here, I told Clark, running as fast as I could through the dark, twisting hall. It's totally fallen down, just a big hole. When we turn the corner, grab onto the railing, the monster will chase us around the corning. Corning? Why am I so bad with... Oh, yeah, like I said, I drank a goddamn dozen beers before I started this. In the hot sun. You know I don't deal well in the sun. I put so much goddamn sunscreen on. Anyway, the monster will chase us around the corner and he'll fall down the open stairway. The roar of the monster thundered in my ears. I saw him plodding down the hall after us. Come on, Clark, hurry. What if it doesn't work? Clark demanded, very frightened. What if the fall only hurts him? Won't it make him even more angry? Don't ask questions, Clark, I replied immediately. It's got to work, it's got to. We started to run again. The monster howled with rage. There's the turn, Clark, up ahead. The creature roared, only steps behind us. My heart pounded hard, my chest felt as if it was about to explode and shit. Grab the railing, Clark, or else you'll drop to the bottom. Here goes. Remember I already complained in a different book about R.L. Stein just saying, here goes, rather than here it goes? That's not my mistake. That's fucking weird. We turned the corner. We both threw our hands up and grabbed the railing. Our bodies slammed hard against the wall, then dangled over the black, empty hole. The creature turned the corner. Would my plan work? Would he fall to his death? Was this the way to kill a monster? Is it Jihadi John? Because I don't think it's a good way to kill people that you consider monsters by beheading them. That's a bummer, you know? That's why I don't go visit all the places that you go to, okay? That's why I'm going to fucking Cabo. I'm mostly going to Cabo because Alex and I needed to get away. And seriously, one day of travel on Friday, then one day of sitting and drinking at a small bar, and that's it. And then Sunday, we're traveling home. That's it. Just one day of sitting at a goddamn bar, being left alone, where we can swim up there, and we can pee all we want, possibly on each other. You know, not directly, but through the water, and just... fucking not stressing out for one day. That's all I ask, you know? Dune reads Goosebumps.
Chapter number 24. This is chapter 24.
The beast whirled around the corner, staggered on the edge of the hole. His head jerked to face us. His eyes glowed red. He opened his mouth in an angry growl. He swayed, trying to keep his balance. Then he plunged down the open staircase. I heard him land with a heavy thud. Clark and I hung onto the rotted banister. It creaked under the strain of our weight. My hands ached. My fingers were numb. It was as if I was doing Ninja Warrior. I knew I couldn't hold on much longer. Like a jumping a spider. We listened. Silence. The creature didn't move. I looked down, but it was too dark to see. My fingers are slipping, Clark groaned. Then he swung out his foot, searching with his sneaker for the hallway floor. Hand over hand, he inched his way along the banister to the safety of the hall. I followed. We peered down into the black hole once more, but it was so black down there, we couldn't make out a thing. Dark and silent. Totally silent, like fucking quiet as shit, as if the exact opposite of what I do when I'm watching a movie and my girlfriend's like, oh, let's watch a movie, and then I fucking pause it every 2 seconds to ramble about things. She's not really enjoying watching The Sopranos, which we're both watching for the first time, because I pause it every 10 seconds and ramble about WAPs, because both of our families are them. We did it. We're safe, I cheered. We killed the monster. Clark and I jumped up and down in celebration as if we were in House of Pain. We did it. We did it. We ran downstairs. We let Charlie out of the bathroom. Why'd you do all this without checking that you killed the monster? Everything is okay, Charlie. I hugged my dog. We did it, boy. I told him we killed the swamp monster. Let's get out of here, Clark urged. We can walk to town. Call Mom and Dad from the general store. Tell them to pick us up now. We were so happy, we practically danced down the steps. The three of us headed into the library. Stand back, I told Clark, and hold Charlie. I'll break the window and we'll get the fuck out of here. I glanced around the room, searching for the heavy brass candlestick to break the glass. It wasn't there.
Wait here, I told Clark. I left the candlestick up in the bathroom. I'll be right back. Oh god, they're getting separated. I sprinted out of the library. I couldn't wait to break out of this creepy-ass place, to leave this horrible swamp and tell Mom and Dad how stupid they were to dump us here in a house with a real live monster inside. I ran through the living room to the stairs. I jogged up 3 steps and stopped when I heard the low groan. It can't fucking be, I thought. Of course it can be. You didn't check on the monster, you just had him fall down like 8 feet, and they're like, he's dead! As if that's ever killed anyone. Maybe it's Charlie. Maybe Charlie's growling. I listened and heard it again. Not a dog growl. Definitely not a dog growl. Then I heard the rumbling footsteps. The footsteps of the swamp monster! Coming from somewhere nearby. Closer. Closer. I wanna violate you. That was a song called Closer from the Nine Inch Nails. Never mind. Oh, God. My lips are like chapped from, I think golfing, probably. And, pineapple juice just burnt my lip. That or the combination of pineapple juice and vodka, which I'm pretty sure I could use to melt before, like an alien's saliva from the Alien series, chapter 25. Clark! I staggered back into the library. My legs were shaking. My whole body trembled. He's not dead, I cried. The monster isn't dead. The library was empty, as it should be. I guess there's no fucking nerds in the house to hang out of the library, am I right? Clark, where are you? I shouted. In the kitchen, he called, feeding Charlie. I raced into the kitchen. Clark and Charlie sat on the floor. Charlie was lapping up a bowl of water. The fall didn't kill him. The monster isn't dead, I shrieked. Clark gasped in horror. He must be really angry now. He must be furious. This will make you delirious. You should have a healthy fear of us, because too much of us is dangerous. So dangerous. I don't even know what song that is. What are we gonna do? My eyes darted around the kitchen. Put Charlie in there, I ordered. In that closet. I have an idea. I hope it's better than your last idea, Clark moaned. Do you have an idea, asshole? I yelled at him. Do you? He didn't. Of course he didn't. Clark dragged Charlie across the kitchen. Gretchen, this isn't a closet. It's some kind of room. I don't care what it is, I hollered. Just put Charlie in there. On the counter sat one of Grandma's rhubarb pies. The monster hasn't eaten since this morning, I told Clark. We'll put this pie out on the counter where he'll see it, and presumably he's a hobo monster, so he'll always steal a pie. But that will only slow him down for a second, Clark whined. He shut Charlie in the room. He'll gobble the pie in one bite. Then he'll come after us. No, he won't, I insisted. We're gonna poison the pie. We'll put stuff on it. Enough stuff to kill him. Quick, rub your balls on it. That's how I heard they poison pies in restaurants. I don't know, Gretchen, Clark argued. I don't think that'll work. Charlie whimpered behind the closed door, as if he agreed. We have no choice, I snapped. We have to try something. I found a fork and carefully lifted up the pie crust with it. Then I searched the cabinet under the kitchen sink. It was filthy under there, damp with green mold growing on the pipes. I found a jar of turpentine sitting on the shelf in front. The lid was screwed on tight. I had to twist it hard to open it. I slowly poured the entire jar of turpentine into the pie. Yuck, that stuff stinks. It smells like a meth lab in here, Clark said, holding his nose. I studied the pie. It was wet and runny now. I think we need something to soak up the turpentine, I told Clark. This should do it. I held up a can of drain cleaner. All right, they're actually making meth, right? I can get into this. I sprinkled the blue drain cleaner crystals. Oh, come on, blue crystals? All right, Breaking Bad clearly stole from this, too. Everything just steals from Goosebumps. It all comes down to Goosebumps. Don't even get me started on the fucking Bible, which is Goosebumps this and Goosebumps that.
I sprinkled the blue drain cleaner crystals over the pie. They made the rhubarb bubble and fizz. Clark leaped back. I think that's enough, he said. I ignored that motherfucker. I stuck my head under the sink and came up with two jars. Rat poison, I exclaimed, reading the dirty label on one of them. Excellent! The other jar was filled with ammonia. Hurry, Clark urged. I hear the monster. He's coming. I sprinkled the pie with rat poison and poided the ammonia, too. The monster's groans came closer. Each time he groaned or growled, I jumped. I found an old can of orange paint and dumped it into the pie. All right, now it's overkill. Now he's just going to know something's up rather than fucking eating the poison. That's enough. We have enough, Clark insisted in panic. Okay. I just want to make sure this worked. I shoved in a handful of mothballs. Hurry, Clark urged. Close it up, he's coming. The monster's footsteps pounded the living room floor. Hurry, Clark begged. I sprayed the top of the pie with bug spray. Gretchen! Bug spray kind of smells good sometimes. That's just a point. I've sprayed that shit in my face, like the fogger ones, like 2 or 3 times by accident, because I'm an idiot. Gretchen, Clark pleaded with me. I placed the poison pie on the counter. It's so sweet, your teeth will fall out after one bite. Grandma's words came back to me. It better do more than that, I told myself. It better fucking kill that monster. Here he comes, Clark cried. We ducked under the kitchen table. The monster stomped into the kitchen. Peering out from under the table, I could see his swinging arms wildly. I could see him swinging, whatever. He knocked over dishes, pots, glasses, everything in sight. Then my heart stopped when I saw the big creature turn. He hesitated. Then he took a step toward the kitchen table. Another step. Another. For you guys counting, that's 3 steps. Clark and I huddled together under the table. We were both trembling so hard, the table shook. The swamp monster sees us under here, I realize. We're trapped. What is he going to do? I bet we'll find out in chapter 26, huh?
Chapter number 26.
Clark and I held on to each other. The monster stepped up to the table. So close I could smell the sour odor of his thick fur, especially the funk of his fucking big-ass monster balls, which he clearly shaved and was very bizarre to look at. Clark started to let out a soft, whimpering sound. I clapped my hands over his mouth. I shut my eyes. Please go away. I prayed. Please, monster, don't see us. I heard the creature sniffing, like a dog trying to sniff out a bone. When I opened my eyes, he had moved away from the table. Whew! I breathed a long sigh of relief. The monster rumbled around the room, sniffing loudly, urgently. He sniffed the refrigerator. He lumbered over the stove and sniffed some more. He probably sniffed that sweet-ass Margaritaville blender that Dune's always wanted that probably wouldn't fill the hole in his life, so he hasn't bought it, because it's like $200 for a blender at absolute cheapest on Woot, and I don't need it, and my brother got one for his wedding, so maybe the people that got it for him will be like, yeah, if you don't use that, you can definitely send it to your brother Dune, because he's rad as shit, because Chris and Courtney gave it to him, and Chris and Courtney like me. And by the way, I hope I see them when I go out to New Orleans. He plodded around the room, sniffing. He smells us. He smells Clark and me, I thought. Please see the pie. Please see the pie. The creature stomped back to the stove, sniffing. He bent down and peered into the oven. Then he ripped the oven door off its hinges and hurled it across the room. That's just showing off. The door hit the wall with a loud crash. Clark jumped in fright and banged his head on the table. He let out a low moan. I moaned too. Look, I whispered. The creature was eating, but it wasn't our pie. There were 2 pies still in the oven, and the creature was stuffing himself with them. Ah, shit, I thought. He'll eat those pies, then he'll be full. He won't eat our pie. We're as good as dead. I like that they think that the
monster has self-control, is just going to stop eating. No, no. He's like a girl that just got dumped on her period. He's just going to keep eating pie.
The monster hungrily jammed the two pies in his mouth. He practically swallowed them whole. Then he lumbered to the center of the room, sniffing. Yes, he's still hungry, I thought. Eat our pie. Eat our pie. I chanted to myself creepily, as Doom thought.
I peered out from under the table and saw the creature heading toward the counter. Yes! He stopped and sniffed. He saw the pie. He eyed it for a moment. Then he lifted it to his mouth and shoved it in. Yes! I cheered silently.
He's eating it. He's eating our pie.
He chomped away at the pie. Chomped and shoved more into his huge mouth. Chomped and shoved. Chomped and shoved. He licked his big lips as he ate. He licked his paws. He rubbed his stomach. Oh, fuck. I groaned. He likes it!
Yeah, but you still filled it with a fucking meth lab. It's probably gonna kill him, but I guess we'll find out, won't we?
Chapter 27. I watched the monster shove the last bit of pie into his fat fucking monster mouth. Then he flicked his reptile tongue in and out, with his fingers up to his mouth, making a peace sign. It was absolutely repulsive, and that's how all of you should pose for pictures, licking up every last crumb from the pie tin.
It isn't working, I moaned to Clark. He loves it.
Now what are we gonna do? He whispered back. He hugged his knees tightly to his chest to keep them from shaking. The monster let out a long groan. I peered out from under the table. I saw the creature's eyes bug out. They practically popped out of his fucking head. A gurgling, choking sound escaped his throat. He grasped his neck. Come on, gasped and grasped. Could have both been there. More cocktail. His neck with his two hairy paws. He groaned again. His stomach rumbled, a deep rumble. He clutched his stomach and doubled over. He uttered a weak cry of pain and surprise. Then he dropped dead on the kitchen floor.
We did it, we did it, I cheered. We done killed the swamp monster.
I pulled Clark out from under the table. I studied the creature from across the room. I was sure he was dead.
Weren't you sure he was dead last time?
But I still didn't want to get too close. The monster's scaly eyelids were closed. I stared at his chest to see if it moved, to see if it was breathing. His chest remained still. I stared at him a few moments longer. He didn't stir. Clark peered over my shoulder.
Is he really dead? He stammered.
Yes, I was sure of it now, totally sure. We did it, I cried. I jumped up and down joyfully.
We killed the monster. We done killed that motherfucker. Dude is the best. If he was in that situation, he probably would have killed the monster, or at least made a funny tweet about it.
Clark reached into his back pocket for his comic book, Creatures from the Muck. He hurled it across the room. It hit the monster in the head and fell on the floor.
I never want to read about swamp monsters again. Never! Clark cried. Let's get out of here.
Charlie scratched at the door. When he opened it, he leaped out and jumped all over us. It's okay, boy, I told him, trying to calm him down. It's okay. I peered into the living room where we had locked Charlie.
Hey, Clark, I think there's a door in here, I said. A door that leads out.
I stepped into the small dark space and stumbled over a broom lying on the floor. I squinted in the darkness. Two rusty shovels leaned against the wall on my right. On the left sat a coil of old hose. In front of me, I saw the door. A door with a large glass window. I looked out the window, out to the backyard, to the path that ran through the swamp.
Does the path lead through the swamp to town? I wondered.
I decided it was worth a try.
We're almost out of fear and shit, I declared poorly.
We're almost free. I turned the doorknob, but the door was locked, bolted from the other side because my goddamn grandparents are retarded. Like all the doors in the house.
It's jammed shut, I told Clark.
But I'll break the window and we'll climb out no problemo. The shovels against the wall were big and heavy. I gripped the handle of one with both hands and took aim. I swung it back and it felt the floor quake. I spun around and heard the roar.
the roar of the swamp monster. He wasn't dead.
We're getting close. If anyone wants to know what I'ma do, I'ma finish reading Goosebumps. Then I'm gonna walk Franklin. Then I'm gonna take a shower and get ready to do shit with my girlfriend. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Chapter 28.
The creature rumbled into the doorway. Clark and I both shrieked as he took a giant step into the room. His hideous head made a scraping sound as it brushed against the frame of the door. But he didn't even seem to notice. Clark and I pressed against the wall. Charlie backed into a corner, whimpering, frightened. We were trapped. No way out. Nowhere to run. The monster's eyes shifted from Charlie to me to Clark. They rested on Clark for a moment. Then the creature lifted his head and wailed.
That's the sound I'd make if I were the creature.
He's gonna get me first, Clark cried. I shouldn't have thrown the comic at him. I shouldn't have hit him in the head.
He's gonna get us, you jerk, I shouted at him, because we tried to kill him.
Yeah, stop trying to kill people, jihadi John. You get what I'm saying? Murdering people's wrong. That's the whole point of all this book. Not the book, but, you know, with me.
That shut Clark up. I have to do something, I thought. I have to do something, but what? What?
The swamp monsters. I feel like I'm just waving a cocktail around. It's terrible. Hold up.
The monster staggered forward. He opened his snout with a snap and bared jagged yellow teeth. Sharp yellow teeth dripping with saliva. His eyes glowed red as he moved forward. Clumping closer and closer, I glanced down and realized that I still held the shovel. I lifted it with two hands and thrust it forward, jabbing it at the air between the creature and me.
Back! I screamed, get back! Like Ludacris, leave us alone!
The monster grunted, get back! Get back! Get back! Rewind it back! Doom got the shit, make your booty prolapse! I swung the shovel wildly. Go away! I swung at the creature. I swung and hit his stomach with a sickening thwack. The room went silent. Then the monster tossed back his head and let out a piercing howl. He stumbled forward, swiped the shovel from my hand, and tossed it to the door. Tossed it as if it were a toothpick. I gasped as it crashed onto the kitchen floor. I eyed the other shovel leaning against the wall. The monster followed my gaze. He snatched it up and broke it in half with his bare fucking monster hands. Then he pitched the pieces into the kitchen. What can I do? I have to do something. And then it came to me. The letter. The second letter from Grandma and Grandpa. The one we hadn't opened yet because we're idiots. Clark, quick, the second letter, I cried. Maybe it'll tell us what to do. Read it. Clark stared at me, frozen, his eyes on the raging monster. Clark, I said, through clenched teeth, open the letter now. He reached into his jeans pocket. With a trembling hand, he fumbled with the flap. Hurry, Clark, I pleaded. He finally managed to tear a hole in the corner of the envelope, and then I screamed. The monster dove forward. He grabbed my arm. He yanked it hard and pulled me toward him. Wonder what's gonna happen next. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Dune reads Goosebumps. Dune, yeah. Chapter 29. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The monster pulled me close. I stared up into his hideous face and gasped. His eyes were deep, dark pools with tiny worms swimming in them.
Oh, I just feel bad for that thing. Poor thing. You know how annoying it is when you have like a fucking errant white blood cell or whatever in your eye and you can see it every time you blink and it moves around? Imagine if I had fucking worms in front of your eye. Oh, God, I'm gonna cut out my eyes just in case.
I twisted my head away so I wouldn't have to stare into those horrible wormy eyes.
The creature gripped me tighter. His hot, sour breath swept over my cheeks. He opened his jaws wide. His mouth was filled with bugs. I saw them crawling up and down his tongue. I screamed and struggled against the monster's hold, but he clutched me too tightly. Let me go! I shrieked, please! The monster bellowed in reply, hitting me with a blast of his hot-ass stanky breath. He smells like a swamp.
I realized as I fought against his grasp. He is a swamp. He's like a living swamp. Am I like a living city? Whoa. With my hand free, I pounded on the creature's arm. I nearly gagged when I felt the moss. His whole body was covered in a layer of wet moss. So he's a swamp thing, but with scales. Let me go, I pleaded. Please let me go. Clark leaped forward. He grabbed my arm and tried to tug me away. Leave her alone, he shrieked. Charlie charged out of his corner. His lip curled back, and he let out a low snarl. Then... Wait, a snarl's not a sound, it's just a facial thing, right? Like Sid Vicious likes to snarl in pictures? That's not a sound, whatever, R.L. Stein. Then he sank his teeth into the monster's hairy leg. Where does the hair go through the scales? Startled, the monster jerked away, dragging me along with him. But Charlie wouldn't give up. I glanced down to see him dig his teeth into the monster's foot. With a growl, the beast raised his foot, and with one fierce shake, he hurled Charlie across the room. Charlie! I cried out, Charlie! I heard Charlie whimper on the other side of the room. He's okay, Clark said breathlessly. He tugged harder on my arm, trying to wrestle me free. With another angry growl, the beast swung at Charlie, shoving him hard against the wall. Then, the monster leaned down and pulled me up to his face. He opened his mouth. His disgusting, bug-infested tongue rolled out, and he licked me. Ew. He ran his hot, bumpy tongue up and down my arm. Then, he lowered his enormous teeth as he prepared to chew off my hand and shit. Whatever. I don't think something that just licked you is going to chew your hand off. That being said, I'm going to finish this cocktail and trudge on to chapter 30.
All done. Chapter number 30. No!
Jesus, I just... No to saying no because it just... Choked me, whatever.
A horrified shriek tore from my throat. The monster's jaws swung down. His mouth gaped open. The bugs swarmed over his yellow teeth. He lowered his mouth to my hand. Then he stopped
and let me go.
He backed away, staring at me, staring at my arm, eyes bulging. I stared at my arm, too. It was covered with disgusting monster saliva.
The monster raised his hands and clutched at his throat now, choking. Choking on something.
He raised his wet eyes to me.
You human?
He choked out. He can talk.
You human? You human?
He demanded. Yes, I'm human, I stammered.
The monster threw back his head and groaned.
Oh no, I'm allergic to humans. What the fuck, R.L. Stein?
I'm allergic to humans. God damn, this fucking stupid. Sorry, I'm allergic to humans. His eyes, god damn it, I'm still frustrated. His eyes rolled up.
He staggered forward and collapsed against the door to the outside. It crashed open his head against under his heavy weight, whatever. Moonlight streamed in. He lay there on his stomach. He didn't move. I rubbed my wet arm and stared down at the swamp monster. Was he really dead this time?
Chapter 31 is the final chapter, and I'm about to just start it going into it, depending on whether or not I got a text right now. It's hard to tell. I did not, so I'm going to go on, but that being said, really allergic to humans, that's what's going on? Fuck that. That's your cop-out of a monster fucking eating you that, by the way, knows English? That's a retarded monster that can't handle things and eats pie that's fucking covered in paint. And he speaks English? Ugh. Chapter 31.
Gretchen, let's go! Clark yanked me toward the open door. We stepped over the monster. I glanced down at the creature one last time. His eyes were shut. He didn't breathe. He didn't move. Come on, Gretchen, Clark pleaded. Is he really dead?
I stared at the swamp monster.
I wasn't totally sure, but I knew one thing. I wasn't going to hang around to find out. Clark and I ran through the broken door. We found Charlie already there, waiting for us. We bolted down the path away from the house into the swamp. I was so surprised to find it was dark out. Had we really fought the swamp monster all day? Had I not made a single poo-poo? A pale moon hung over the cypress trees, casting an eerie glow over them. The mud rose up over my ankles as we made our way through the marshy ground, through the tall weeds, through a blanket of heavy mist. My shoes plunged into deep pools of water. I tripped over upraised roots. I swiped at the long beads of gray that hung from the trees, swiped them from my face as we headed deeper and deeper into the swamp. When the house was no longer in view, we stopped running, stopped to catch our breath. I listened into the darkness for footsteps, the monster's footsteps. There weren't any. We did it! We killed the monster, my voice rang out in the night. And we escaped, Clark cheered. We're free, we're okay. Yes, I shouted, we really did it. Now that we had stopped running for our lives, we stepped through the swamp carefully, leaping over the inky puddles and gnarled tree roots. The night air echoed with strange sounds. Low gurgling, scampering footsteps. Farts, just kidding, piercing cries, but I didn't give a shit. I had already battled my worst nightmare, the swamp monster, battled him, and won. Could have won a freestyle battle, too. Hey, Clark! I suddenly remembered the other letter. We never read Grandma and Grandpa's letter, the second one. So what? Clark replied. We don't have to read it. The monster is dead. We killed it, just as they told us to do in the first letter. Where is it? Where's the letter? I demanded. Take it out, Clark. Oh, God, what is this letter going to say? They're allergic to... Oh, God, I'm still upset about that. I stopped walking. I want to know what it says. Clark pulled the crumpled envelope from his jeans pocket. As he smoothed out the wrinkles, a fierce animal cry cut through the swamp. I don't think we should stop now, Clark said. We can read it later, after we reach town, after we call Mom and Dad. Read it now, asshole, I insisted. Come on, don't you want to know what it says? No, Clark declared. Well, I do. Okay, okay. Clark ripped open the envelope and slipped out the letter. A light wind began to blow, carrying the sharp animal cries to us. The dark trees rustled over our heads. Clark began to read slowly. Unlike Dune, who does this shit like blackout drunk when he can read no problem and make dick jokes. God, I'm good at reading still. Struggling to see in the dim moonlight. Whatever, it's dark out, so if there's lights on, I'm reading from a computer. Dear Gretchen and Clark, we hope you children are safe and well. We forgot one word of warning in the first letter. If the monster gets out, and you do kill it, rather than getting eaten alive, goddamn parents, and escape from the house, stay on the road. Do not go into the swamp. Clark rolled his eyes. He let out a loud groan. Keep reading, I shouted. Read! That's what all the tweets I get at if I don't put up an episode in 2 weeks are. Read! Keep reading! He squinted in the dark and went on. The monster's brothers and sisters live in the swamp, dozens of them. We think they are out there, waiting for him. My heart started to race as Clark continued. We've seen the monsters in the swamp. We've heard them whistling to each other every night. They're unhappy their brother was captured. They're waiting for him to return, so whatever you do, stay out of the swamp. God, these are some fucking seriously irresponsible grandparents. This book just makes me fucking angry at parenting. Or grandparenting, I guess, in this case. Anyway, stay out of the swamp. It's not safe out there. Stay out of the swamp. Good luck. We love you. Clark's hands dropped to his sides. The letter fell to the marshy ground. I turned slowly, staring out at the shifting shadows. Gretchen? Clark choked out my name. Do you hear that? What is that sound? What is it? It sounds like a whistle? That's what I thought, he whispered. What do we do now? Any ideas? No, Clark, I replied softly. I don't have any more ideas. How about you? The end. What the fuck? First off,
Jihadi John is an idiot for this being his favorite book. I don't care if he is 10. The monster's allergic to humans. First off, do you guys even have swamps? I guess he was in England at the time. They got, like, bogs. I'm pretty sure I said that in the last episode. It's, like, weird deja vu. Anyway. So the kids are going to die, and the grandparents just fucking left them, and their parents did as well, knowing that their grandparent or the grandparents are the kind of people to just leave kids to die, hoping that they can possibly find someone. This is so frustrating. I don't even know what to say. That was not a good ending. I kind of liked it, honestly. I liked the first half, I'm going to be honest. The second half, I did not like, but then again, I don't like many of these goddamn books. Oh, well. Anyway, I'm Dune. This is Dune Reads Goosebumps. Like I said, I'm not going to have one up for a little bit, probably. Maybe I'll finish a couple more tales to give you goosebumps, but I'm going out of town next weekend, and then let me pull up a calendar. Next weekend, I'm out of town. Then the weekend after that, I'm not. The weekend after that, I have to go to some shit in LA that I don't know if I'm going to go to, honestly. And then the weekend after that, I'll be in New Orleans. So, well, I don't know. We'll see how it all goes, but I don't know. I don't fucking know. Anyway, thank you again for contacting me. Please keep it up. I do appreciate it. And once again, you know what I'm going to say right now. Stay spooky, bitches.